Revelation 19. We covered verse 1 through 10 last week. In verse 11, he says, I saw heaven opened. Behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. So we see the white horse, we see the mimicking, you know, the Antichrist trying to come in the reflection or the resemblance of Jesus. And so he'll do the same thing in his turn. He'll come in a white horse. And so we see that mockery or that fake trying to give the impression that he is the Savior. And again, you know, with all that's going on in the world, we see ourselves just inching closer and closer to him. We're just getting closer and closer to that point. And it's remarkable that with all that's going on, even people, even church people, don't see the writing on the wall. And I can't comprehend that. I don't understand how Christian people, church people. Now, that's one thing if you got saved but you never got taught. But if you've been in church and you've been taught the Word of God, and especially the prophecy and the revelation and tribulation and all these things, man, your eyes should be wide open right now. There's no excuse for us. And we talked about that. Jesus said there's no reason for us, the children of the light, to be caught by surprise when he comes as a thief in the night. And so we should be ready. And we should be paying attention to all of this stuff. And I know that there are things out there that people say that, you know, we can get tripped up on or tricked by. But when you see these things, pay attention, do your research, look into it, see if it's real, see if it's accurate before you repeat it, before you repost it and all that kind of stuff. But there's so much going on. We're just inching closer and closer. And to that point, when the rapture takes place and the tribulation begins, you know, we're getting little bites, little hints, little indications. And when it happens, the Bible says, if you recall this, that there'll be a strong delusion. That people will be convinced that, you know, they'll buy into it. They'll surrender to it. And I'll be honest with you, you know, some of the things that are going on now, in my opinions, I really spend a lot of time praying about it and wondering about it and pondering on it. Am I wrong for the way I see this and the way I feel about this? And, you know, it's that controversy within my spirit, because you hear the voices of reasonable people, people that you trust and people that you like. And so you think, well, if they feel that way, why is it that I feel this way? And so it can be very, very much a struggle. But understand something. All of this should be preparing us and in our minds to see how easy it's going to be for the Antichrist to use his power, to use the power of fear and intimidation, to lock people out of the marketplace, to lock people. Guys, that's all of that. All of that's in Scripture. And so, as far as I want to believe and want to get along and want to cooperate and want to, you know, not be rebellious, I see everything that's going on and how it is a reflection of what the Bible says is going to happen. And I say, I can't be wrong on this. And we're marching that way. Now, at this point in chapter 19, we've gone past the rapture, past the tribulation, the marriage supper of the Lamb, the judgment seat of Christ. We're marching toward that great white throne judgment, when all who don't believe in God will be cast into the lake of fire. In verse number 11, he says, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. And this is Christ. This is the Anointed One. This is Jesus, the Savior, in his return. When we talk about Christ's return, there are two things to think about. His return when he comes in the air and calls us home, which 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us about. The rapture, when he does not come, he does not touch the earth. So there are people around the world today who claim to be Christ. You aware of that? They say they are Jesus. And they have followings. People follow them and people worship them. Many examples throughout time that you recognize, but Jesus is not coming back on the earth. He's coming back in the clouds. And he's calling us home, the sound of the trumpet of the archangel. So we're going home, and then once we're raptured up, there will be the tribulation where Israel will be judged, the world will be judged. There'll be the Antichrist, the beast, the treaties, the witnesses, the 144,000, all of that. And then will come the end of the tribulation and the judgment. And that's where we are here, the marriage supper of the Lamb. His eyes were as a flame of fire. On his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. That's his name in the beginning, John chapter 1, verse 1, right? In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Same was in the beginning with God. It's Jesus, 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 the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. So we see Jesus called the Word. He is the Word. He now comes back, and his name is the Word of God. He is the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. How do we get there? Because we've already been judged. We've already gotten our bodies. Remember, those who have passed now do not have bodies. They left their bodies here. Their souls are in heaven. But after judgment, they receive a new body, a celestial body, an eternal body, one without sickness and disease and pain, one without the limitations that we have now. That's going to happen then. And so, right now, their souls, their spirits. But once they are judged and they receive their bodies and they receive their robes and some receive crowns, and now this is an army. Well, who is that army? That army is the saints. That army is those who are counted faithful. That army is... Those are the ones that God is bringing with him. And Paul talked about that. And out of his mouth, Jesus, verse 15, goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and shall rule them with a rod of iron. He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. It's Jesus. And he's leading the army. Not only is he leading the army, but his vesture is dipped in blood. And the army that follows are in fine linen. And we don't do anything if we're included in that number. He does all the battle. We're not there to battle. We're there to witness. We're there to testify. We're there to see what he does. But he, by the word that goes forth out of his mouth, he rules. He treads the winepress of the fierceness of his wrath. Verse 17, I saw an angel standing in the sun. And so, you know, this is John's understanding. This is what he writes. And yes, it's by the inspiration of God. But here's what, I want to come back to this. I want you to think about this. What John wrote then, he had to write in such a way as his understanding and the understanding of the people. So, some of it that we see is not going to be literal. Is there an angel standing in the sun? Well, I mean, is that literal? Or is that illustrative? But the point being, I mean, the point is the brightness. The point is the radiance. The point is the brilliance. When we talk about heaven and think about heaven, I know when I talk about heaven and when we go to heaven and we see Jesus and we actually reach the throne of God, there's that brilliance that outshines everything. There's a song that we used to sing when we were kids. Jesus will outshine them all. Y'all remember that song? It's a wonderful song. We used to sing it on the way to church almost every time we went to church. An angel standing in the sun. Verse 17, he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of heaven, come gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, that they may eat the flesh of kings, the flesh of captains, the flesh of mighty men, the flesh of horses, of them that sit on them, the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. What's happening? Remember, all these kings have gathered to make war against Israel. They've gathered. Which way will they come? Well, they'll come through Megiddo, the valley there. That's always been the idea. And as they're gathering against Israel, against Jerusalem, and against God's people, they'll be destroyed. By whom? By the Iron Dome of Jerusalem? By the weapons of war of Israel? By the technology, the fighter jets, and the military? None of that. By the word that cometh forth out of the mouth of Christ. Remember, at this point, as we're, you know, we've gone beyond the tribulation, at this point, the whole world has come against Israel. At one time in this tribulation period, everybody was in agreement. There was peace. Everybody was in this together. Everybody was working together. And we had set aside all of our differences. You know, that bumper sticker, coexist, and it has all the different religious symbols on it. And that's the idea. Just let's just all get along, and we can, again, have a Jewish temple behind the Dome of the Rock, the Islamic shrine, and the Al-Aqsa Mosque at the other side. I don't know if you saw the news about that, but they've reopened after coronavirus, and it's been very directly put that it is for Muslims only. Nobody else needs to be up there. They're locking people away, pushing people away, dividing. But I want you to know something. In the time of tribulation, that first 3.5 years, Muslims and Jews and Christians will all get along. Christians. Because those who trust Christ will be gone. So Christians won't actually be here. But those who are Christians by name only, by religion only, and not by relationship with Jesus, will be left behind. Now there'll be the two witnesses and 144,000, and there'll be conversions, and there'll be revival, and all those things will take a new approach. But that's concentrated in Israel. Those witnesses are going to be in Israel, in Jerusalem. That's where they're killed, in Jerusalem. That's where they win souls, is in Jerusalem. So it's going to be a completely different look. But at that time, the Muslims will not express their hate for the Jews as they do today. Can you imagine that? That hate that they have for the Jews will be gone. It will be for a period of time. But then at the 3.5 year mark where the Jews say, we can't do this because of the soiling of the temple, because of the sacrilege of the people, the Jews will say, we're out. And then the world will come against them, the beast will come against them, and Israel will be removed to the wilderness for safety. Okay? We've studied all of this. So there'll be peace, and then that peace will be broken, and then there will be battle, and there will be war, and there will be calamity. Some of it of heaven and some of it of earth. And then we get to this point, and it says there'll be the fowls of the air will eat the flesh of the kings. As the kings gather themselves, we see these meetings that are held. The eight summit. You know, all these great nations come together, and the leaders and the powerful leaders come together, and they have a summit, and they're all having discussions about what they should and shouldn't do. The UN, all that kind of stuff. And that, as those kings, as those leaders gather, they're coming to Israel, coming to Jerusalem, to tell Jerusalem, this is what you're going to do. And the Lord shows up on a white horse. And he said, I tell you what, I'm in charge. And he destroys them, and they die. And the fowls of the air are called the buzzards, the vultures, come and eat. Lots of dead bodies all around. It's awful, isn't it? It's an awful idea. It's an awful sight. But what John has given us here, what Jesus, through the revelation, gives to John is to understand that there is no debate over who's going to win that war. It's not going to be a 30-year war. It's not going to be a 10-year war. He's coming to do battle, and he's coming to claim what's his. And he'll destroy and he'll kill. In verse number 20, the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet, that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. So who is it? Those who have taken the mark. The mark. The mark that says you can shop. The mark that says you've been vaccinated. The mark that says you've been licensed or certified by the state. Guys, if we go back in history and look at all of the steps that the government has taken in this country, and by the way, we're not alone, it's all around the world, all of the steps that have been taken have been marching closer and closer and closer to this point. Let me ask you this question. If you don't believe in God and you don't believe in the book of Revelation, where is this going? How does it end? How does it get corrected? We've lived under this idea, by the way, in the best nation on the face of the earth. I believe that. I love America. I love this place. And the freedoms that we have. It's been wonderful. But at some point, even America, this great land of liberty, has to fall in line with the prophecy of the book of Revelation. The whole world has to fall in line. We've got leaders, and have for a long time, who say we must stand with Israel, we must not forsake Jerusalem, right? You hear them say that from time to time. But at some point, this country, our leaders, will stand against Israel. And we have had them that have done that throughout history. But at some point, in a total betrayal of Israel, it's going to happen. Now, we'll be gone. We'll be gone. So is it a discouraging message? No. We'll be gone. But have a clear picture of where we're going, and answer me this: if you don't believe the book of Revelation, then where are we going? Because everything God said was going to happen is happening. And getting us closer to the point, to the extreme of it happening. But I like verse 20, don't you? Those enemies against God are cast into the lake of fire. You see, hell is not eternal. Death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. And that's the final place.
Do you have a question?
Yeah, go ahead and talk. I'll repeat your question for online. Go ahead. Okay, and that's it. So the difference is this, and the question is, and it's something that I say regularly, because if it were me, and I was standing on the outside, I would say, well, how come Jesus didn't come back for the Holocaust? That's the worst thing that's ever happened to the Jewish people. So why not then? And so we've had a World War I, World War II, we've had the Holocaust, we've had these great calamities through our society. So what's different today? And the biggest difference today, if we go back to World War II, is what? Because Israel is a nation now. So that's the number one factor. Because up until Israel became a nation again in 1948, until that happened, the return of Christ could not happen because it's declared. So after Israel became a nation again, standing on its own feet, its own flag, and its own identity, now there's nothing holding them back. So since then, so say for the last 70 years, why hasn't he come back? But if you look at what's happening, is we're inching closer and closer and closer. You're right. It's happened all around the world. We've got communism. We've got socialism. And now it's starting to try to creep into America. So now it's starting to impact us personally. Why? Because at some point, the whole world has to turn against Israel. And one huge factor in that, let me just put it out there. Anybody got an idea of one major factor of a difference? Technology, okay, that's one factor. Okay, removal of God, but again, it's just now making its way here. It's been around the world already, Chinese and Koreans and Soviet Union, all that kind of stuff. One more factor. Okay. You're talking about energy or authority? Energy or authority, which one are you talking about? Authority, okay. What were you saying? Okay, the temple, getting there. And that is a huge factor. Remember, one of the things that I was told in Israel last year was that they've now discovered that the Golden Dome of the Rock is not placed in the place that the temple was. It's on the courtyard, it's on the mountain, but they're saying now they've identified that the actual temple was behind it, was north of it, so that they don't have to tear down the Golden Dome of the Rock, which the Muslims would never allow that. But now they can build the Jewish temple, God's temple, behind that. So it can what? Coexist. So that's one huge factor. But the factor I was speaking of was Islam. Look at the hold that Islam's got today. Look at how they're spreading. You remember, was it Khrushchev that said, we don't have to fire a shot against America. We're going to just slowly, through doctrine, through education, we're going to turn America into communists and socialists without a shot being fired. And Islam has the same goal. Now, I know about 9/11. I know the attack that they committed against us. But understand, the threat of Islam is not battle. The threat of Islam is the heart and the mind. And they're in it for the long haul. And their desire, their intention is to take over this country. And they're being elected, and I'll stop at that. But they're infiltrating this country, and not just this country. So it is, that's another huge factor. So all of that is true. So we're getting there, slowly. And not to mention, the chip. How much time do we have? So the chip's been invented. It's smaller than a grain of rice. It's so small that it can be, I didn't want to go there. It's small enough that it can be subtly placed, even without your knowledge. It can recharge itself, and so it's self-energized. It can locate you. It can identify you. Right now, you can take your phone and you can swipe it, and it'll pay your bill at the convenience store. And so we're able to do that now. We've got our phone. These things right here, they know. If you've got a smartphone, they know. And so you say, I don't have a smartphone. Well, then you don't. You're not being tracked, but it's still going to get there. All the technology. See, this is one step. We go back to the ring, ring, Sarah, can you ring me? Route 7, that kind of stuff. So we go all the way back to that. marching, marching, marching. Now, I think Alexander Graham Bell was an anti-Christian, or that he was trying to fulfill the book of Revelation. No. It was one step. The technology. One step. But now here we are. We can put that chip, insert that chip in your hand, and that can tell me if you've been vaccinated. And by the way, all of the pressure, and by the way, please, please understand something. Sister Becky is recovering from coronavirus. I've got a friend who was buried this week with coronavirus. So don't say, well, you're just conspiracy and you don't believe it's real. I believe it's real. But this has been politicized to the point that those who don't cooperate are being discriminated against in the marketplace. And that's just one more step, and it's getting closer to the point where you're going to have the chip. And right now, when you walk in the building, some of these buildings have these temperature scans. I don't think it's a bad thing, but it's one more step. They don't even have to talk to you and come up to you and scan your temple or take your temperature. Now, when you walk in the door, they can tell if you've got a fever. And they can tell you right there, stop, you have to leave. You've got a temperature. Technology, one more step. So, at some point, that chip is going to tell whether you have the vaccine, whether you've got what your medical records are, what your credit rating is, or if you've got insurance, all that stuff's going to be in your chip. Right now, we use fingerprints to identify people. Won't even have to have that anymore. And by the way, it's going to be a locator. And I've been saying this for years. You don't love your children enough to put a chip in them? If they get lost, you can find them? What are we talking about? Big news. All of the sex trafficking, all of the trafficking of children. It's huge. And it's going to be used as a reason. Guys, as a parent, that's one of those things that I look at it and I say, well, of course, if my daughter was stolen, I'd want to be able to find her. Oh, so you don't love your children because you won't have a chip. You love your cat more than you love your children? I mean, you got your dog chipped, right? You see? So, technology is a huge factor. We're getting closer, aren't we? Getting closer. I don't know. Where did we go? How did we get there? That's why. It's a different... You could not have convinced... Preachers have been preaching this for hundreds of years. Paul said, when we which are alive remain and be caught up together, meet him in the air, right? John gave this revelation, and he was anticipating it in his day. And yet, both of them died. 2,000 years have passed. Preachers that I've known, I mean, two pastors died this week. That I know. And I think, how can that be? How can we be losing great men of God? And they preached that they would go in the rapture, but they didn't. And the pastors that I've had, and friends that I've had, and relatives that I had, that really believed they would go to the rapture, but they didn't. What's different today? All of this is different. They haven't been able to track you with a little tracker in your hand until now. And go back up here where he says, in verse number 20, the false prophet that wrought miracles, which deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. The mark of the beast. He said that they'll receive the mark in their hand or their forehead. You say, well, why is there a choice to have it in your hand or forehead? Well, most of us would probably want to have it in our hand if we were going to get it. But you know, not everybody has hands. And I know that's something that we don't think about. But there are people... You couldn't put it in their hands, they don't have them. But you could put it in their forehead, because, I mean, everybody's got a forehead. We're marching. That's why. That's why it's different now. technology, authority, manipulation. And this is something that really, I'll be honest with you, it concerns me. Because people can do things on the computer to make it look like you did it. People can make a video look like you were part of something that you weren't even there. So yeah, they can make it happen and use that and manipulate things. And voice, they make it sound like you, especially someone who's recorded as much as I am. You can take my statements and really manipulate them, make them say whatever you want to say. And then they play the tape back and say, Derek, is that you? And I say, well, sounds like me. Well, you just said that. And I say, I don't remember ever saying that. Well, we got it recorded. That concerns me. God concern you. Because that's the kind of manipulation that destroys organizations. So we have the Battle of Armageddon. That's where it is. It's not here. Don't worry about being alive for the Battle of Armageddon. We're going to be alive, but we're going to be following Jesus. We're going to be coming back if we are included in that number, in that army. We'll be following Him. We'll witness it, but we won't be doing anything. The beast and the false prophet are cast into the lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And that's permanent. Verse 21, and the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse. Of who? Of Jesus. Not us. Him. Which sword proceeded out of his mouth, and the fowls of the air were filled with that flesh, with their flesh. We have the timeline. We understand the timeline. And now the beast, the false prophet, have been cast into the lake of fire. There's a song that you're probably all familiar with. And this is what it's talking about. I've read the back of the book, and we win. I want to be on God's side. I want to be following Him. I want to be in lockstep with Him. Because I know in the end, He wins. He gets His way. His enemies are destroyed. And that's the assurance that we should have. And the reason that it's so important to talk about why it's now, when all this, you know, there's been sin since the garden. There's been death since Cain and Abel. There's been battle since Babel. You know, there's always been this conflict, and so why are we finally reaching that point now? Now, I will tell you that when you add up and look at the generations and you do the math, we're close. There are different predictions about that, and I'm not one of those who does that kind of stuff, but predictions have been made. Remember, and I can go back to 88, one I was very familiar with, and then one just, 10 years ago, another one. And by the way, they predicted He was coming, and He didn't. People sold everything they had, and He didn't come back. I'm not telling you to sell out. I'm not telling you to cash out. Here's what I'm telling you. Live for Jesus. Get ready. Prepare your heart to meet your God. And if you've got a friend, a neighbor, someone you love that you don't want to spend eternity separated from God, you need to talk to them about Jesus. Let's take a break.